Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
So many assholes, so few referees and security guards. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Breakfast Soup Raw. This is Thanksgiving week, November 22nd, 2021. I am Don Tony, and he is...
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, everybody?
Tired. Extremely tired, man. I already let the chat room know that... I will never do another show again if we go longer than 90 minutes tonight. I'd be surprised if we go over an hour. Saturday. And you know what's funny? I literally just switched glasses at the last minute. If everybody looks at these glasses, you see how everything reflects in the screen. That's because I got like a blue filter. Roger Rubio with the $2 super chat. Coffee on Roger. Much love, my friend. Thank you. See the blue, it's a little annoying, you know, to watch it back and to see the screens. But if I put this pair on, nothing. So we'll wear this one. So look, Saturday night, we did a show, predictions, Survivor Series. Last night, Survivor Series. Very disappointing show. By the time I did my recap, by the time you did your recap, it was like 1:30 in the morning. Then you get up early today. We both work. Then earlier today, Mish and I recorded a Thanksgiving episode, a rapid fire. Almost 200 questions were answered. We did that earlier today. And before we could even take a break, it was time for Monday Night Raw. So we are tired. And I'm going away in 48 hours, vacation for 5 days. So tonight... Nice. We're pretty much going to just talk about Raw. I mean, if you really want to, you know, get into the other news really quick, there you go. Bray Wyatt will be appearing at WrestleCon next year from March 30th through April 5th. Well, actually, I shouldn't say all 6 days. I don't think he's going to be there for 6 days, but WrestleCon is 6 days long, and Wyndham Rotunda, the former Bray Wyatt, will be there. Bob the Builder with the $2 Canadian Super Chat. My friend, buy or sell, bigger star in 10 years. Austin Theory or MJF? Mish, who do you think MJF. 10 years from now will be the biggest star?
MJF, hands down. I think MJF has a lot more tools at his disposal. If we're going by what their accolades are right now, MJF has a hell of a head start in comparison to Austin Theory. Although in 10 years, let's be honest, both of them might be out of wrestling by then.
True.
You don't True. Know, man. And I'm not trying to sit there and play the dark card or nothing.
But. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, they could get opportunities outside of wrestling. Wrestling may look much different than it is now in 10 years. Maybe there's injury. Maybe there's other issues going on. But I'm with you, man. I mean, there's no question. In 2024, when MJF's contract is up, I mean, as much as WWE is possibly and likely interested in MJF, there ain't no way right. they're going to let him say a third of the things that he says in AEW. He True, ain't going to talk about Melanie time. Giving blowjobs to hundreds of people for drugs. You know what I mean? So right. he would be.
But at the same time, he's going to have that opportunity to still utilize. And you know what? In 10 years. You hope he's not still cutting the same kind of promos oh, yeah. in 10 years.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. 10 years of cutting promos, you hope you learned a little something and how to convey your messages across without exactly. having to be crass and foul-mouthed. Yes.
Absolutely. So for everyone out there, for our channel members, I'm going to release the rapid-fire episode a day or two early, only because we only have about like 55 channel members. So it's a very small audience. But for everyone else, it'll be released midnight late Wednesday night. So literally 12:01 a.m. early Thursday morning in time for Thanksgiving. We had a fun time earlier. Believe me, we talked wrestling past, present, future. We talked personal stuff, politics. You know, everybody, we had like seven different people asking us about Kyle Rittenhouse, and we gave our honest thoughts, which I think overall everybody will be fine with what we had to say. Just the whole gamut. I mean, we talked everything. I mean, my God, I'm thinking about some of those topics we talked about earlier. I'm like, you know, much love and props to everyone who came up with that stuff. I mean, pretty awesome. But that episode, I'm telling you, it's easy listening. You'll have a lot of laughs, and there's, you know, some pretty serious stuff mixed in with it. So I'll probably release it to channel members tomorrow, since we don't do a show publicly other than Patreon. Mishina will be on Patreon tomorrow. But since it's Thanksgiving week, tomorrow is going to be on the cuff, no advanced questions. But the cool thing is, tomorrow we announce the winners of the beverage tournament, and we start the favorite cereal tournament. So we got 64 of your all-time favorite cereals, and we'll be doing that tournament for 2 weeks. So before we start getting into Raw, some of the very interesting things that went down tonight, inside and outside the ring. James Campbell, interesting super chat. He would like to know, have we seen the last of Finn Balor? No meaningful storyline. And a kayfabe injury.
What do you mean he's not injured for real?
Yeah. I mean,
look, I don't know, man.
His stock is still high in WWE. I mean, I get it. You know, it's all about perception, everybody. I mean, Seth Rollins is not winning a championship anytime soon. Kevin Owens is not winning a championship anytime soon. Finn Balor is not winning a championship anytime soon. So all three are not winning a championship, but it's perception. And right now, since Finn Balor is technically, arguably, the top babyface on Raw, I mean, Big E is a huge babyface too, but Big E, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, WWE seemed to have tweaked, you know, his character, the way he talks his promos now. I mean, if you listen closely, I mean, he's still tremendously over. I'm not saying that fans are turned on Big E, but Finn Balor is still a massive babyface on that roster. So, no, I don't think he's washed up. I don't think that at all. I mean, you know, they're doing a storyline tonight to get fans even more pissed off at Kevin Owens. And Liam Savage, welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to the family. Little active tonight with the Super Chats and the memberships. Much love.
Sure.
Much love.
Thank you.
Okay, we got a legitimate good question here. Bob the Builder, what's the difference between this channel and Patreon? Well, first off, every week there are two shows that we record that are only available on Patreon. So we have like, I think like 170-something episodes of Breakfast Soup Patreon. It's a totally different show that we do over here. So you got hundreds of shows that have aired only on Patreon. Now, I've had people ask me about making some of them available for the channel members on YouTube. That's something that we're looking into. But the content on there, the shows are different. And all the shows that are available in audio form here or on YouTube, you get them there too without commercials. So Patreon basically is ad-free. And yes, we've been doing ad-free before adfreeshows.com and Conrad. We've been doing it first. But that's the big difference. So, you know, if you want to go check it out, patreon.com/DonTony. It's a small audience there. But, you know, we still, you know, we offer at least 8 shows a month that are not available publicly outside of Patreon. And you get ad-free episodes. And we also do a monthly contest. So, you know, you can check it out if you want.
Sure.
Bob the Builder's also asking, good movie recommendation. Mish, any good movie recommendations for the holiday season?
Platoon.
Okay. Oldie but goodie. I mean, very, very emotional movie.
Yes, yes. Great, great Thanksgiving movie,
yeah.
Platoon.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about a few things that went down tonight on Raw. Tonight on Raw.
Was the first thing that went down on Raw tonight Seth Rollins?
On Raw tonight. Carmella and Queen Zelina, your new women's tag team champions. Also tonight on Raw, congratulations to Dana Brooke. Something tells me that that picture, you wouldn't recognize Dana Brooke all that much. Shout out to AS7607. I hope you have a beautiful Thanksgiving as well. Thank you very much for your support. It is unwavering, and I hope you're doing well. She's good people. So shout out to AS7607. Yeah, that's Dana Brooke. She won the 24/7 championship tonight, which we will talk about in a little bit. And also tonight, we had this happen. If you didn't see Raw tonight, or if you just got a brief glimpse and didn't know what was going on, I guess we could talk about Seth Rollins first. We have some pictures to show you. Seth Rollins came out, cut a promo tonight on Raw. You know, getting the crowd riled up. And Seth Rollins does get under people's skin big time. Still no excuse for what went down. Long story short, after Seth Rollins finished attacking Finn Balor and was walking down the rampway, if you're looking at the rampway, the right far corner, a fan went over the barricade all the way in the deep corner near where the Titantrons are on the right, and he ran and charged Seth Rollins and pretty much gave him a spear. And the two referees, I got a couple of screenshots for everyone out there. That is a drunk, I don't even call him a fan, I call him a goof. If you're a fan, you don't do that. So this drunken goof ran down the rampway, gave sort of a spear, a takedown to Seth Rollins. Obviously, Seth Rollins is okay, and they put him back out there for the main event tonight to show everyone he's okay. The two referees quickly restrained this guy. He has been arrested, and WWE did issue a statement to everybody tonight. WWE says, and I quote, WWE takes the safety of its performers very seriously. The individual who attacked Seth Rollins has been turned over to the NYPD and will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. WWE pressed charges. Seth Rollins pressed charges. This fan is in. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say this fan is in a lot of hot water, because if anybody has been following the news, New York has been pretty messed up with the way they handle some types of crime. There's a lot of people who get arrested and are released the same day. So I don't know what's going to happen with this guy. I mean, as soon as I get the idiot's name, I will share it with everyone, and we will monitor his case, because you can get that information in New York. But I tell you, you know, I saw people online joking tonight, making fun of Seth Rollins, that the referee shouldn't have broke it up and let the guy go at it with Seth Rollins. You don't know if he's got a knife. You don't know if he's got any type of weapon on him. And that could have turned into something very, very tragic. I don't think it's a joking matter when anybody charges a wrestler. Anybody puts their hands on a wrestler. It's not funny. It's not comical. Even if it's King Corbin, even if it's Cody, even if it's anybody out there that gets under your skin right now, that is not condoned. That is not funny. That is scary, scary stuff, and totally unacceptable. Thank God Seth Rollins is okay, and I hope that this guy gets himself into some serious trouble. What are your thoughts about what happened tonight? Did I just ruin like a couple of jokes that you were going to make?
I'm not even. Yeah, I mean, I had like my own little thing going. The only thing I got to say about it is Seth kind of did the wrong thing afterwards. He made a fatal fucking mistake where he started to cut a promo on the kid after he was being tackled in character. I mean, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with him as a person. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with Colby. But in the same vein that somebody went after Bret Hart at the Hall of Fame, you kick the ever-loving shit out of that person that tried to tackle you.
Yeah.
You beat them with an inch of your life. You don't cut a fucking promo on them and encourage other people to want to do the same to someone else.
Yeah.
Like maybe your wife. Yeah. So I don't know what's wrong with Seth. He's a doofus. You know, yes, I'm glad that the refs were out there. I'm glad that the cops got him and stuff like that. But encouraging people to want to jump the guardrail and attack other wrestlers, is he just fucking stupid? I don't know.
No. I guarantee there's going to be a boatload of people that agree with you. I didn't look at it as him. See, I remember the Dudleys.
You got a promo, did you not? See, that's yeah, why I
heard him, but
I asked you before the show, did you hear what he was saying?
Sure.
To that fan.
Come on,
he
boy.
Was cutting a promo saying, that's why I'm the best. That's why I'm the best. What the fuck are you talking about, you moron? You beat this asshole with an inch of his life, and then you get out of there and let the cops handle it.
I mean, you still don't. I mean, let me look. I totally get what you're saying, but when you're jumped and you're speared and you're taken down and the refs grab the person, if this was the guy's body, which actually it might look like the guy's body, you know, Seth Rollins is not going to pat him down to make sure that he's clean.
No, I'm not saying I'm
just saying, like,
you defend yourself, dude.
I get it, but if he starts beating up this guy or the referee start beating up this guy, it could turn into, look, piss.
What? You want that? You want people to look at everybody beating the shit out of this guy and go, damn, if I ever thought about jumping the guardrail, I'm not going to do it now.
I get it.
That's the whole reason they do it, man. Wrestlers have been attacked by fans for generations at this point. There are horror stories with like Ric Flair and George Blassie where people and Roddy Piper and coming down to the ring with knives and broken bottles and waiting for wrestlers outside of the arena and stuff like that. But now Seth's going to be like,
I
don't know, man.
Yeah, I see. This world is so weird that if that guy would have gotten messed up, it could have been turned against WWE, excessive force, excessive violence. He could try to press charges, sue WWE. I know it sounds ridiculous, but in this day and age, I mean, you know, you just want to eliminate the problem and get it out of there as quickly as possible. The only reason why I think Seth Rollins stood in character and cut his promo, I think he did that maybe more of to show the fans at ringside that he was perfectly fine, that this didn't faze him, it didn't shake him up, and him, because, you know, I hate to always go back to the Dudleys, but I remember the Dudleys when they were in ECW. I mean, they almost started riots.
They did start riots. Yeah, I will say that, look, much shit as Bubba Ray Dudley gets, and deservedly so, he was legitimately a guy who would start shit with people and swing on them at ECW. There's video footage on the old WWE network. They still have footage on there, you know?
I just think Seth was doing it to basically show the guy, hey, you know, when the cameras are on, I'm not Colby, I'm Seth Rollins. And you didn't do anything to me just now, and I'm still the man, and you know, and you're a loser, and I'm still the guy, and I'm still Seth Rollins, and I'm perfectly fine, and you didn't do nothing. That's how it came across to me. I'm with you. On a personal note, all rules and laws out the door, beat the living crap out of them. White, black, straight, yeah, I don't care who it is. Anybody that jumps the guardrail, barricade, and puts the hands on a wrestler, you know, look, we've seen in Mexico, you know, I remember La Parca. This guy tried to pull his mask off. Boom, 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 boom. You sure Mexico's different, but I was like, yeah, beat his freaking ass.
Right.
You know?
Fans don't belong in the ring. Fans don't belong touching the wrestlers. That's just a no-no. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's up to the wrestlers and it's up to the people that protect the business to protect the wrestlers in that scenario. You know,
absolutely.
I don't know. I see people defending this guy like, oh, yeah, you know, what was Seth supposed to do? Seth was supposed to kick the shit out of that guy.
Yeah.
That's what Seth was supposed to do.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, based on what Liam Savage is saying right now. Thank you for the five Canadian super chat, my friend. The Seth problem tonight makes him think how super serious some fans take this.
It wasn't that long ago. Yeah. Wasn't it? What the fuck? Muffin Mark, Muffin Man, whatever the fuck that guy's name was that came in that was trying to attack. Who was it? Cody? Somebody jumped in the ring?
No, was it MJF?
Was it MJF?
I think it was MJF. Friends. Yeah. I think it was MJF. And a lot of us thought it was a plant. I think it was MJF. Right. Oh, no, it was Jericho. That's right. It was Jericho. It was Jericho. He was on this. Yeah, he was in. Yeah, he was on the rampway. No. I think it was in the ring.
But, I mean, it wasn't even that long ago that even before
that. That was this year in AEW.
Right, but Bret Hart was at the Hall of Fame. That was last year or the year before. I mean, some of these fans are losing their goddamn mind.
Yeah,
their damn mind.
Now, is that a compliment to these wrestlers that they get under fans' skin so much that they take it seriously? Or are we just dealing with a lot of cuckoo? You know, people who are sensitive for people, Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, I think in 2021, there's far more sensitive people now than ever before.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of people that are very in tune, I guess,
with
what's going on TV, and they take it to heart. So it's not because the promos are getting better and more detailed. I'm not taking away any credit from the talents, but you're also preaching those promo talents to a group of people that are far more sensitive and brainwashable than ever before.
I remember the video now. Thank you, VJ and Larry. I remember Justin Roberts. He's the one that took the guy down, I think. And Jericho did get a couple of haymakers in there. Look, I'm with you, man. As a person, you know, you want those people to get their ass kicked because that is something you just don't do. But I can't fault Seth Rollins for his reaction because, you know, I think great heel or no great heel, established wrestler or rookie, I think when anybody that you don't know is charging you for real and is that angry with you, that guy knew he was getting arrested. That guy knew that he was going to be in trouble, yet he still did it.
I don't think he did. I think they're that crazy. Look, it wasn't that long before that. Everybody remembers Piss Shit Milk guy, right? The guy who literally made a bucket full of his piss and shit and milk and drove love letters to Lita on the wall of the performance center. The dude got bounced. The dude got tased. The dude eventually got shot by police, and he still kept trying to come back to the performance center.
That guy.
Some of these fans are fucking broken, DT. They're like broken people, bud.
Yeah. I tell you, I just I don't ever like seeing that, you know,
even if
it's entertaining. I mean, when the goof gets beat up, you know, especially the guy that tried to take down Bret Hart at the Hall of Fame. I mean, we had FTR, you know, pretty much beat the crap out of him.
And they did.
I think Cash was the one to beat him up. You know, so you kind of rooted for him like, yeah, beat his ass. But on the same token, though, you know, look at that guy who showed up at Sonya Deville's house. You know, the guy had, the acne kit for kidnapping.
Right. I totally forgot about that with, was it Mandy and Sonya, where this dude literally broke into their fucking house? No, I think there's a big surge of just these sensitive people that take shit on different levels. They take their attraction to the women in wrestling on a different level. They take their hatred of wrestlers on a different level. I mean, so far, knock on wood, everybody's been safe at the end of the day. But I'm telling you, DT, with the way this shit is going, it's not going to be too long from now that we're sitting there doing a eulogy show for somebody that got killed by some crazy ass fan. It's not going to be too far off now.
Yeah, I just I hope that doesn't happen. But man,
of course,
you know, look at that guy on Twitter that was obsessed with Alexa Bliss. Yep, I don't think anything ever happened with that guy. Does anybody out there think that the guy just decided to move on and, you know, learn how to paint? You know, and stopped harassing her and others online? You know, no, you don't.
He got away with it, and it makes you think, man. It makes you worry for some of these people, you know? It's almost like bomb. If you do too good of a job, you're a problem. You know what I mean? It's messed up.
Bro. Yeah. Well, you know, thank God, you know, we didn't have anything serious come out of that today. But, you know, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for anybody, you know, whether people agree or disagree with Seth Rollins' reaction to it, which is a different story. Right. As far as the guy jumping the barricade and charging a wrestler, I don't think that that's something that anybody should be joking about, because you never know. Somebody whips out a knife, somebody whips out some type of, you know, weapon and does some serious damage. You know, what's going to happen then? You know, it's just, it's not acceptable, period. Right. Not acceptable. Look, even didn't we have some cases where some wrestlers were being grabbed around ringside? And I'm not just talking about groped as far as women goes, but, you know, we've had some wrestlers like battling like right near the guardrails and fan tries to grab somebody.
Right.
You know, and it's not just, hey, I love your work. No, I'm a big fan.
It's people grabbing. Yeah. No, I got you. Right. Yeah. It's a problem. That's what I'm saying, man. It's like you wrestlers, the company needs to set examples. And when a guy like Seth gets tackled and it looks, I'm sorry, that spear looked like it was pretty hard. Yeah. And it looked even worse only because he wasn't expecting it, as he shouldn't. Yeah. So he went down pretty hard. And the fact that he got up and going, is that the best you got? That's why I'm the best in the world, or whatever the fuck he was saying. It's like, no, dude, you kick this guy till he can't use his eyeballs anymore. See, that's what you do.
I like the verbal abuse. Oh. Not abuse, but I like the verbal in the sense that, see, like with me, like my haters, you know, having success and enjoying ourselves and having fun, to me, bragging and enjoying and having fun, I think that's the ultimate revenge you could give these people. Seth Rollins staying in... See, this is how I look at it. This is the best way I could summarize it. Seth Rollins, in character, cutting a promo and attacking Finn Balor, is what triggered that guy to snap and charge Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins cutting a promo after the refs got this guy, it's almost that Seth Rollins is doing the very same thing that pissed the guy off in the first place, and that's Seth's way of saying, hi, you didn't do nothing to me. I'm still here. I'm still Seth Rollins. Ha, ha, ha. And you didn't do nothing. I'm still the asshole that triggered you to jump the barricade. That's how I took it.
Cool.
All right. So, couple other things happened tonight on Raw, and yes, we are talking a little bit out of place tonight. I don't know how you feel about it. And look, I'm going to say it like this. You know, there's been a lot of controversy with Zelina Vega being let go, coming back, you know, Gabriela Carteras, and pretty much nobody supporting a union when she thought that she had everybody's support. 9/11, she was supposed to appear, and then it was changed because of time, and obviously that, you know, was a little bit, you know, a lot of bit disappointing to Zelina Vega. Vince McMahon supposedly apologized to her, and Zelina wins the tag titles. Not only does she win the tag titles tonight, but she wins it in New York. So, I look at it like this. Yes, a lot of people feel that the women's division in WWE is terrible right now. I am included in that. The WWE women's division was a lot better when you had Bayley and Sasha Banks as champions. Hell, I even think it was better when the Iconics were the tag champions, because you had so many viable teams. Asuka and Kairi Sane, another great team. But But this is what I will say. And I know this is going to upset some people, but I'm just expressing an opinion. I am a big AEW fan. But I will also criticize, and I will also be brutally honest, not because I'm putting them down, but because I want things to improve and get bigger and even better. But let's be honest. If you really pay close attention to the AEW women's division, there are eliminator tournaments, there are TBS tournaments, there are brackets, and then on top of brackets, and then you have, you know, one storyline that'll take 4 to 6 weeks to build to lead to a pay-per-view.
Right.
Even though the WWE women's tag team division is very weak right now, there is no question that women in WWE get a boatload more TV time on the main shows than AEW. And I don't buy this TNT only wants one women's match. First of all, even if that was remotely true, you'd have women's groups in an outrage pissed off at TNT. TNT, you know, you got Britt Baker and you got Thunder Rosa and you got Serena Deeb and you got some very, very talented women there. And their women's division obviously is not as big. But there's no question, however you feel about the women's division in WWE, WWE still gives a lot of opportunity. Tonight we had 3 women get titles. Whether the title changes were good or they weren't good, they still had that opportunity. And that is something that people have to admit. WWE gives a hell of a lot more compared to AEW. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
You are right.
Oh, all right. I get it. Yes.
No, I do agree with you. There is a lot of problems in both women's divisions. I think both women's divisions are sorely lacking in many different ways, but you're right. WWE at least gives the women's division of their own more of a chance to fail or succeed based upon their own laurels and merits. AEW, it's almost as if the biggest thing about AEW's women division is that they need more time. They need more physical time, not just time to bake, but actual time on television. They need more time in order to get back real fans' enjoyment or respect or dislike. It's almost as if you like someone or dislike someone in AEW's women's division, it's probably if you like Britt Baker or not. Because everybody else doesn't really get much time. And it's not to sit there and say that they don't have a plethora of women that they can go to focus on. But the company, apparently because of TNT, just they don't. They don't utilize that. And so I kind of wonder if it's not a TNT thing either. I agree with you on that. I wonder if it's more along the lines of the old adage, accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. AEW has a weaker women's division. Much weaker than the male talent that they have on the company, clearly. Maybe that's more of a case of that. They don't have the female talent to even compete for time, for show time that they do have with the male talent.
Kiera Hogan was a topic of conversation on my show the other day, and I used her as an example because she really, I think, is the first woman that is signed by AEW who has actually come out and voiced a little frustration of basically, you know, not getting the opportunity, kind of lost in the shuffle. If you actually look, I mean, look at AEW Dark and look at AEW Elevation. Even look at tonight's results. I invite anyone out there to look. If you look at AEW Dark and Elevation for the last month, there are at least 10 women that wrestled that could very well be on Dynamite every single week. But instead, what Tony Khan will do is everybody that has any type of name value on the men's side, they have to be featured on TV, even if it's a backstage segment, even if it's a bullshit promo. How many times do we have a wrestler, blah, 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 has something to say, and then they don't say a word, and nothing happens, and it turns into to nothing. I'm telling you. I mean, I know we disagree about Riho and some others, but you look at Dark and Elevation, and you will see at least 10 to 12 women that, and I don't want to, I don't think it's fair to compare women's abilities, but I would think that there's at least 10 to 12 women on AEW's Dark and Elevation that a lot of people would say that they think they wrestle better than Zelina or better than Carmella or better than a few others there. Yet, they can't break through the Dynamite. They right. can't, I mean, yeah, you get, look at Ruby Soho. I mean, Ruby Soho got that opportunity, you know, for the title, and she was featured in one or two matches, and now it's 5-6 weeks with almost nothing. Oh, she's in the TBS tournament. Now all of a sudden her name's in lights again, but what have they really done in the last 5-6 weeks? You know, I think Liv Morgan's, you know, trying to establish her as a viable contender, which I know you and I disagree a little bit with, but there's no question that haymaker that she laid into Becky Lynch tonight looked pretty damn good. But WWE sure. is trying to make her viable. The best way I could explain it, and when I said eliminator earlier, my point is that when it comes to women, for the most part, in AEW, the way they get title opportunities is usually because they want a match. Not because of backstage segments and this and that. I mean, they'll announce a match and then, you know, you'll see it build as a result. With Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch, there's a lot of emotion involved. And Becky Lynch saying, you embarrassed everyone, you even embarrassed your friends that are no longer here. Ouch. Liv Morgan looked like she legitimately was going to cry tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And she laid her out. So there is a deep storyline there. You know, so say what you want about the women's division in WWE, but they're still getting opportunity.
All right. That's, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Doudrop had her little splash out there tonight, too. And that's the other thing is I'm sure there's a lot of people that think that the storyline is focused around Becky or Charlotte, and that's it. But the reality is it's not. It's not like it's 2 hours of Becky and Charlotte every week. It's just not that way. They give the women a lot of opportunities to succeed or fail based on their own merit.
Bob the Builder with a happy belated birthday to you, my friend. Happy birthday. I wished it on social media last week, and you and I didn't do a show, so I didn't get to publicly say it on this show last week. But happy birthday. How did you celebrate your birthday?
I did.
What'd you do?
I went down to like middle Illinois. I did some like antique shopping and stuff like that. That's where we found the haunted monkey with the symbols and stuff.
Oh yeah,
like
we
that.
Talked about that earlier.
Yeah. But yeah, no, a lot of, you know, just kind of relaxing, getting the fuck out of the city, kind of going out in the rural, you know, down by Peoria. You know,
very good. Shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight, who gave us the results of, where is it? Oh, it's popping. It's not popping up for some. Oh, wait. Here we go. Yeah. Thank you, Crazy Cruiserweight. For everybody that is interested, main event results from tonight. Mansoor beat Drew Gulak. Los Lotharios, Angel, and Humberto, they beat the Viking Raiders. Hmm. Are we still very concerned about the future of the Viking Raiders?
Well, I'm very surprised that they still are kicking around the WWE locker room, but it does not surprise me that a lot of people have them on their lists, DT. I mean, obviously, since the last one, still floating around is that there might be one more string. Yeah. Got a couple weeks left before the end of the year here. Yeah.
And, I talked to someone. The idea is that
there might be one more. There might be one more line of releases before the final of 2021.
Yeah. I talked to someone behind the scenes about a few, you know, specific corporate things. And there's a few people in NXT that are really, really nervous right now. And no, it has nothing to do with Triple H's legacy and all that stuff. By the way, did you happen to see that TikTok video I was talking about yesterday? There's a TikTok video showing Triple H with Vince and everyone else. They visited the site where the WWE headquarters is being built.
No, what happened?
Nothing. They're starting to build the new WWE headquarters, and they were invited to the location. It's still, you know, just cement. There's not even a foundation. I think maybe just the foundation's been put up. But the TikTok video, You see the WWE executives all dressed up nice, wearing hard hats. They're walking down a rampway. Vince walks down a rampway. And then you see Triple H. Did not turn for the cell phone video. Just looked straight ahead. You really couldn't see that much about him. Like, you couldn't see if he, like, dropped a lot of weight, if he looked small, if he looked frail. He looked fine to me. But you really can't tell. He's just literally, and right. The video is very grainy. I'm surprised in this day and age that the cell phone footage that some people record is that bad and that grainy. You know, I could see 10 years ago, but the video is pretty damn grainy. But if you all go on TikTok, you'll be able to see it. This is from last week. So, But again, you know, there are people out there that, and I figured it out. I mean, they're insisting that Triple H is an outsider suddenly. That Triple H is not part of the corporate game. That Triple H is, you know, he's losing his credibility. Yet nobody in the business, in the stock market world, and the investors ever bring it up. But wrestling sites do. And I realized that I think a lot of AEW fans that do that, I think the reason why they do that is because they know that AEW creatively could have some more powerful storylines, some more character development, just being able to curse and say anything you possibly want to say within a storyline, you know, that gets you extra over. I think they realize that if there was a Triple H involved, like an AEW, to help build the wrestlers of tomorrow, the character development, the storylines, the psychological part of that, I think that's what they feel is missing or is needed in AEW. Right now, AEW, you have this group of wrestlers behind the scenes that are, you know, not all necessarily close, but is run by a specific clique of people. And if you are a friend or a family member of that clique, you have opportunity there. Because we play to 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon over the years. You look at behind the scenes in AEW, you could play 6 degrees of almost anybody that works behind the scenes. Like a wrestler gets signed, and it just so happens that this wrestler is the best friend of this person or the brother of the best friend of this person in the back. You don't see too many people signed, you know, that don't have that tie unless they are really, really special and were let go from WWE. So, Riddle tonight cosplaying Randy Orton.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, two reasons why that was done tonight. They're twisting the storyline a little bit where it's starting to go to Riddle's head that he's starting to think that he's Randy Orton. And like I threw the little teaser out earlier today, everybody thinks ultimately Randy Orton will turn on Riddle. And I said, I'll take the other route. What if Riddle one day turns on Randy Orton? Can't leave that possibility out, especially if he starts thinking he's a viper, a snake. He might be the one to turn on Randy Orton. But another reason why Riddle dressed up and cosplayed like Randy Orton tonight is because Randy Orton right now is tied for the all-time record for the most matches wrestled on Monday Night Raw. Yesterday, he surpassed Kane as wrestling the most pay-per-view matches in WWE history. Tonight, if he would have wrestled on Raw, he would have also broke the record for the Raw matches. So this was a little tribute tonight to have Randy Orton's music, you know, to have, you know, him cosplay Randy Orton. It was a little bit more of a tribute tonight for Randy Orton. Because the next time he wrestles on Raw, he will own that record. Does it surprise you that the person he surpasses on both sides, pay-per-view and Raw, are you surprised that the person he's surpassing is Kane?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Kane is such a long, large staple for WWE. But I think the reality is Orton's been there a lot more than Kane. I think Kane has had long stretches away too. And I think that's kind of what makes his career feel even longer than it actually is. Orton, not so much. Orton's had a few stretches of disappearance, but nowhere near as many as Kane's. So it is kind of cool for Orton to actually get that honor. So, yes.
Well, Riddle dressed up Randy Orton, with the exception of boots. Randy Riddle still wrestling barefoot. Beats Dolph Ziggler. After the match is over, we have Randy Orton with the bro Derek on Bobby Roode, Robert Roode. So, fun match, I tell you. Riddle versus Dolph Ziggler was a lot better than I think people expected tonight.
Yes.
But, you know, what do you think about that storyline where Randy Orton's telling Riddle, you know, I said be like me, don't be me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it doesn't turn out to be some kind of Mickey James, Trish Stratus thing. I don't need Randy Orton to come, or Matt Riddle to come out there and start licking things. But at the same time, you know what I mean? If they're just keeping it lighthearted and goofy, I enjoyed it. Because even at the end of the match, when Orton jumped into the ring to save Riddle, he threw the fake mustache back at him. And so it was kind of like, it was almost adopted by Randy Orton in a way, going, nah, I'm in on the joke, kid. I get it. You know, have fun. So if they keep it light, I think we can have fun with it. If they go into a dark turn or something like that, or trying to branch out of this storyline between Orton and Riddle, I think it's a mistake. Keep it lighthearted. These two guys do really well together. Arguably, you know, one of the better matches of the night, if not match of the night last night. So I don't know. Do you really want to try to break these guys apart? Do you really want to start sowing these weird seeds of discontent? I mean, I know it's better for WWE to split up a tag team when they're at their pinnacle, at the apex, if you will. But as far as being a fan of it, I still think they can go with this a lot longer.
Sure.
And considering it's such a strong gimmick on Raw, it's one of the stronger gimmicks for tag teams. I don't know if you want to get rid of it. It's a really strong team. I'm not ready to say, let's end this shit already, you know? So, I don't know, man.
That's one thing over the years that annoys me a little bit with WWE, that even if a tag team is gelling so wonderful, I'm talking about makeshift teams now.
Sure.
You have a makeshift team that is gelling and doing so well that they still insist that their shelf life. Like, it's got to expire within a certain period of time. Like, you can't let them stay together for a couple of years. No. We have to split them. It's like, and there's been a lot of makeshift teams over the years. They really didn't need to split. The one that comes to mind almost immediately is Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho.
Right.
I mean, they were working so well together, and WWE insisted they were going to split them up, and they split them up. We had also tonight, they had this dumb continuation of the egg. You know, where's Vince's egg? And basically Vince said that whoever finds the egg gets a title match tonight against Big E.
Yeah.
So you have everybody on Raw and SmackDown there. They're flipping tables in the back. They're causing chaos. They're all trying to find the egg. R-Truth finds a freaking football. And early on, you could see, even when Vince said, shut up, like, you could see that takes a lot out of him.
Right.
Vince, instead of, you know, like, he was teasing the two words that if they didn't find the egg, that Sonya and Adam Pearce would be fired today.
Right.
But, you know, Vince, the you're fired is now, you're going to be let go. You know, like, he teases it to her. I don't know if Vince has it in him to get really...
to say, you're fired? I don't think he does.
Get fired! I don't think he could do it.
You're let go? That was so weird.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That was such a weird thing for him to do. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, you remember the two little words?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah you're gonna be
why
let go.
Can't you say the two little words?
I would have popped better if he said, if you two don't find the egg, don't say nothing else. Just look this way.
Right.
And the door opens up. And it's Johnny Ace, John Lennon.
Right.
Ace. That's what I would have done. To Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, if you don't find that egg, you know those two little words, but if you don't find that egg, and the door opens and just John Lennon Ace is standing right there, he would have got booed out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The boos would have been so loud. That's what I would have done. Yeah, Joe punches, 25 years of The Rock and no Rock. Look, a lot of wrestlers, pro wrestlers, said it yesterday that, okay, we found out that The Rock is in Australia. But a yes. lot of wrestlers have said in the last 24 hours, how does WWE not even get a two-minute video of The Rock showing an appreciation, all this celebration of 25 years of The Rock? Wrestlers dressing up like him, fans cheering for him, fans tweeting about it. How do you not record 90 seconds and show it at Survivor Series? Nothing.
Well, what's even worse than that is when you really think about how easy it would have been for them to get 20 seconds from The Rock and just thrown it up from his phone. You know what I mean? Like, they could have even done a live call and just patched it through. I don't know what the hell they did. Look, they knew that he wasn't going to be there, and they still went ahead with the plans anyways, which made sense because they had everything set up to celebrate The Rock's moment. How they couldn't even get this guy on the phone with a fucking static picture up on the Titantron and just him talking on the phone addressing the fans live. That bewilders the mind.
Yeah.
That something as basic as that would have meant a whole lot to the wrestling community, and it would have taken up nobody's time. And that's the other weird thing too, is everybody wants to blame WWE for this. I kind of blame The Rock.
Yeah.
The Rock knew for 6 months at least that WWE was planning this date.
Guess what?
And I understand that maybe The Rock didn't know, you know, his schedule with the movies and stuff like that. That's fair. But you're telling me after knowing for 6 months that your day is being celebrated and you can't work in a phone call? You can't even work in a 20-second phone call to the company?
I'm sorry, that
was not on Vince. Yeah. That's not on Vince.
I'll add to that. First, Bob the Builder says WWE needs The Rock more than The Rock needs WWE. It's not even that.
Yeah.
I'll go one step further with this. Why hasn't The Rock even recorded a 45-second TikTok video while he's taking a shit? While he's in his hotel room? You think he's on the movie set 24/7, 365, everyone? The Rock eats. The Rock.
Dude, it would have made more sense. DT, it would have made more sense if he recorded the TikTok video while he was on set.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about his movie all night. Yep.
Hey, I'm on the set of so-and-so. To all my fans out there that have been paying tribute for me all week, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I love all of you, and I will see you soon. And that's it. Simple one-minute TikTok video. Even if that, and he didn't need to wait for Survivor Series to do it. He could have done it 2 weeks ago. Could have done it a week ago.
Dude, he could have done it 10 minutes during,
he could have done it today. Done it
live during the show.
He could have done it today. No excuse.
No, Rock. I understand that the movie's already done filming, but he's filming another movie. That's what people don't understand, is he's filming another movie.
Yep.
But there's absolutely no reason why he can't sit there and go on set and literally do a live feed or a phone call, like not even a video call, not even a FaceTime. Just do a regular old 25-cent phone call to WWE and have them patch it through. It's just so bad, and it makes everybody look like shit.
Yeah. Sit while he's having his morning coffee. You mean to tell me he can't just grab his phone and just 45 seconds, a minute. Guys, gals, 1 minute. They had months and months and months. He could have recorded this a year ago. Oh, I know next year is going to be the 25th anniversary of The Rock. Hey, you know what? Let me record it now. And in this way, if I can't record something by then that's fine. So I don't know if there'll ever be another Rock or a Cena, but it's not even that. It's just, you know, out of respect. You know, there's nobody in this world that is that busy that they don't have 5 minutes of free time, you know, while they're, you know, just in their hotel room. Like you said, they could have done it on a movie set. Hannah's Sexy Gaming, I believe that was. Welcome to the family. Hannah's Sexy Gaming.
Sassy.
Not sassy Gaming? I thought you said sexy. Okay, Sassy Gaming. Might all right, sassy. I'll check that out.
Don't know if it's sexy, though.
Yeah,
well, Hannah will have to let us know if it's the sexy
gaming. Yeah, I'm going to lurk and check it out. So anyway, getting back to Raw tonight. The Street Profits taking on AJ Styles and Omos ends with a disqualification because for some reason the Street Profits decide to use a fire extinguisher on Omos.
Because they're baby faces that steal pizzas. They're baby faces that use illegal weapons. That's what they are. Look, I don't even care about the Street Profits. They're such a misnomer anyways. They don't even count. Like if you want to make a little predictions game, they would be on my next list. That's all I'm going to say there.
Oh, no. Street Profits have job security.
Omos are fantastic. Omos was an absolute star yesterday. He was probably the most important thing in that 25-man Battle Royal for multiple reasons. And I love the dynamic between him and AJ. They got each other's back. And some goofy tag team like the Street Profits aren't going to be the guys to take him out. So
Street Profits jobs are secure for the foreseeable future, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Someone that a lot of people are concerned about now is Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander beats Reggie tonight for the 24/7 title. Now, my immediate reaction is, okay, Reggie will now roll up Cedric, win the title back, and run away. No, we get something different. Cedric wins the 24/7 title. We then get Jinder Mahal, the Viking Raiders, Otis, Chad Gable. They all come out. They're about to attack Cedric Alexander. Dana Brooke is out there, too. Dana Brooke hits the flying blockbuster onto Cedric Alexander, pins Cedric, and all the male wrestlers are like, no, we're not going to roll you up. We're not going to pin you. We're not going to touch you. We're not going to do nothing. So they're all in the ring. Dana climbs the top rope. She's holding the belt in celebration. Dana Brooke is now your 24/7 champion. So Dana Brooke now joins Medusa, Kelly, Tamina, Carmella, Maria Kanellis, and Candice Michelle as women who have carried that 24/7 title. Anything you want to add to that?
Nothing I can say on YouTube.
Tune in to Thursday's. Are you going to do a wrestling show Thanksgiving night?
Probably not. I think Joe and myself will be recording something on Wednesday.
Okay. So tune into Patreon tomorrow. Because Patreon, you know, nothing's out of bounds over there because Patreon don't care how nasty we get. But there's, you know, the 24/7 title is garbage. It's been garbage since day one. It's a novelty title.
Right.
I'll tell you this much. I'm going to take this and try to turn it into a positive. Do you know what could happen out of this? Something we haven't really seen since that title's been launched. 99.9% of the time since that title's been launched, there's always men chasing men trying to win that belt. Maybe what could come out of this is since none of the men attempted to pin Dana Brooke tonight, what if we see a shift in the 24/7 title that now the women are chasing each other for the belt? That now we're not going to have any men for the immediate future trying to get that title. Now, for the foreseeable future, we only have women. Now, the only problem with that is how many women are on Monday Night Raw. I mean, you might only have three people chasing her, you know? But what do you think about that? Because remember, she could show up on SmackDown. 24/7 title's not just Raw. She could show up on SmackDown. What do you think?
I mean, it would be nice to see them do that, but I'm not going to hold my breath on it. I don't think that they look at it as even a gender role title. I think it's a genderless title. It's a title that
can
be won by men, women, and anything else. So to all of a sudden bring it back to the point where they're just going to hyper-focus around women winning the 24/7 title, I don't know. I mean, they could do it, but I don't know how long they would keep that going for. Yeah. At some point, some guy is going to have to pin a girl.
R-Truth will probably dress up like a woman.
Yeah, because then you can keep it light as opposed to actually having somebody come over there and just give Dana Brooke a right cross across the skull and knock her out, because you don't want to make people feel bad. So,
yeah. Benjamin, I'm with all of you out there. If it was up to me, 24/7 title wouldn't even be on TV. But since it is, we got to try to make the best for it. So,
Sure.
But Gabrielle, I don't think Reggie is being buried. But I tell you, you know, the way things are with releases right now, you know, if that title, I mean, let me put it like this. I don't know what Reggie's future is in that company, and I don't wish releases on anybody. But I wonder if tonight in his hotel room that there's ever a moment that he's just laying in bed by himself, looking up at the mm-hmm. ceiling, and he's like, oh, my God, they took the title off of me. Mm-hmm. I got to get that text from John Laurinaitis. You know, I wonder if that creeps into someone's head right now that would any, you know, title loss or any type of substantial loss that in the back of your right. mind, you're thinking, oh, my God, am I next? That's not a good environment to be in. I mean, I personally think, seriously, I think if I was WWE, and look, they're a $1 billion company. Who am I to tell them anything? But if I was WWE, I think something that is absolutely necessary and soon is their corporate, the executives in WWE that communicate with the wrestlers, they need to have a meeting. And they need to let those wrestlers know, like, look, we don't want everybody to go every day thinking that they're on thin ice, because that's not a good vibe or good atmosphere to be working in. They have to give a little bit of a reality check, say, listen, this is the deal, you know, this is what's going on, you know, but you know, anything could change, but we don't want anyone to be thinking that am I next or this is and that. Now, I don't know how much that would console anybody, but you know, they need to reassure their talent, you know, that not everybody, you know, is being considered to be let go. And I don't know how you do that. That's their problem. That's the corporate world.
Right.
But they need to give a little reassurance. So, Nikki Cross, Nikki Ash, and Rhea Ripley lose the women's tag titles tonight. Carmella and Zelina. I mean, they penetrated in our head about Nikki Ash being the weak link.
My head? They penetrated my head?
They penetrated all our heads tonight to remind us and convince us that Nikki Ash is the weak link in this.
Yeah.
And lost the tag titles. Your thoughts?
I'm okay with it. Mo Howard needed to lose the belt anyways. You know, it's sad that Nikki is kind of a catalyst in this, or kind of like a fatality in this. But, you know, the time with her and Mo needed to end. And, yeah, you know what? Queen Vega and Carmella, they don't deserve the titles in any way, but it's going to be fun watching them walk around with those things, acting like they deserve it. And eventually somebody's going to come in there and just kick the ever-loving shit out of them and take those belts away. So it's fine. It's all right.
Okay. I thought Dominic was going to turn on Ray tonight. We had a handicap match, Bobby Lashley.
Really?
Yeah, I thought tonight was going to be the night. When they did the handicap match and last week, Dominic didn't do anything while Bobby Lashley had his way with Ray. When they did that segment tonight where Dominic apologized to his father, you know, like, we're supposed to suspension disbelief that there's no cameras there. Why would Dominic wait 7 days to apologize to his dad? Like, the next morning I would text him, Dad, sorry, I didn't do anything last night. It just looked goofy.
It's because the cameras weren't rolling.
I know, but still, I honestly thought that Dominic was going to walk out on his father tonight and Bobby Lashley was going to beat the piss out of Rey Mysterio. No, I don't think I have cursed tonight yet. I honestly don't think so. So I'm trying to do a curse-free episode for a change.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
No, you can. It's just a challenge.
No, you know what? I don't know the new rules. Like,
there's no new rules. No rules. No.
I mean, I can totally go radio.
There's no rules. You know. By the way, for everybody, you know, another day or two, and we will be in the Blue Wire directory. Trust me. Once it's there, I'm going to be telling all of you change your bookmarks and. I'll be pushing that to death. It is unreal as far as how many of you already, you know, have made the switch without me even pushing it. And, you know, when I've been saying for a long time that there's so many different areas to access our shows that I didn't have control over it. That's one thing about this network. They took control of it. And now any of the shows, any website out there that tries to access it, you know, they got to get it from Blue. And I posted the screenshot. And if I wanted to right now, if anybody didn't believe me, I would post, I would go live on the website to show everyone. In the first 6 days, not including YouTube, almost as of tonight's show, almost 82,000 downloads in six days. So, you know, and that number I will keep showing in real time because I think a lot of people, you know, when you tell everyone how big your numbers are and I tell, I think a lot of people don't believe us. So I posted that screenshot tonight. And believe me, I know people can Photoshop stuff. There's no way for me to have that kind of talent to Photoshop graphs the way it is. There's it's just no way. But I thank you all, seriously. Blue Wire, support it. So we're going to start bringing this show home. We're going to wrap it up in a couple of minutes. But first, people thought I was joking yesterday when I said Damian Priest is doing his Latino Incredible Hulk impersonation. Don't get me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Tonight, simply because Sami Zayn is taunting Damian Priest a little bit. Now, let's backtrack a little bit. Damian Priest had a U.S. title open challenge tonight. Commander Aziz comes out, as well as Apollo Crews. Commander Aziz getting a little bit extended mic time tonight. Apollo Crews, we thought was going to challenge Damian Priest tonight or accept the challenge, and he said no. Sami Zayn, who wanted some type of opportunity tonight, comes out. Now, earlier in the night, Sami Zayn tells Vince McMahon, I know who has the egg, and basically Austin Theory ultimately shows up, and Sami Zayn is there. And basically, Sami Zayn kind of rats out on Austin Theory. Austin Theory explains that he just wanted to take a selfie with the egg yesterday, and because of all the security, he took it to his room. It's just stupid. It's stupid. Right. So Vince gives Austin Theory the title shot tonight against Big E. But Sami Zayn thought that he was going to get the opportunity and not Austin Theory because Austin took the egg and Sami Zayn was, you know, told on him. So Vince is like, people don't like snitches. So Sami Zayn doesn't get the opportunity, but the minute that Apollo said he wasn't going to accept Damian Priest's open challenge, Sami comes out. So we have the match. Match is competitive. But at the very end, Sami Zayn takes Damian Priest's U.S. title, taunts him a little bit. Just a little taunt, little pie face. Damian Priest, you would have thought that he got his nuts stuck on a zipper. It looked like the Incredible Hulk. He's literally like, and his teeth aren't all that great. So they have close-up on his crooked teeth. And I like Damian Priest, but he's got this, like, these looks on his face. Like he just ate something tremendously rotten. He's like all, and he flips out. He gets the win. But I don't know what this is. It's like it gives the new meaning to hulking up. I mean, Hogan, it would be like,
right.
You know, but Damian Priest, it's like the Incredible Hulk. You know, Bill Bixby, you know, can you imagine Bill Bixby in 2021? Hey, Bill, nice looking tie there. He turns green. Can you imagine the Incredible Hulk in 2021? All you got to say is, Bill, could you wear some deodorant today? You smell like shit. I curse. Seriously, we got to get like a snowflake version of the Incredible Hulk in 2021. Like that Bill Bixby, you know, David Banner. David, you know, can you, you're like, you smell. That's it. He turns green. I mean, what do you think about Damian Priest right now with that anger like that? Is it just too much?
It's a weird thing. And I think myself and a lot of people that were in our Discord chat room were actually joking about it. But it's really weird that they're trying to go this new heel direction, this new angry direction with Damian Priest. When WWE spent so much money, so much exposure and clout in order to get Damian Priest this over as a good guy, over as a baby face, I mean, he had a huge WrestleMania moment. Fans are completely into the guy. And it's weird that in the last few weeks, they've been doing everything they could to kind of turn him away from that. And I understand that, you know, it's, I guess the creative thought it was time to make him a heel or make him a bad guy. But he doesn't come off that way to me. I still want fucking cool, badass Damian Priest. I want the Archer back. Yes. I don't know what this is. And I was kind of more curious your thoughts about him shitting on podcasts tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, it's interesting because suddenly now we have Becky Lynch making a remark about dirt sheets and Damian Priest making a remark about podcasts. You know, I wonder if they're trying to be a little bit more personal.
Excuse me.
You know, with you know, because that reality, you know, that suspension of disbelief, that, you know, expansion of reality with Charlotte and Becky Lynch, you know, I think they're tapping into a little bit more of the reality side of everything. But also, WWE, remember, they're launching their podcast network. Mm-hmm. Remember, a lot of people forgot. They're launching their podcast network. So this might tie into, ultimately, you know, something related to WWE with podcasting. But yeah, Jeff R. with the comment in a night. 2021, Hulk, David Banner would turn green just for a difference of opinion. That's pretty funny when you actually think about it. You know, look, yeah. I actually don't have any problem with Cody Rhodes. What are you talking about? Cody, you know, look at it. No. I think Cody is good. That's it. David Banner. That's it. He turns green. If you actually defend Cody, that's it. Triggers him. Turns green. In 2021. Oh, my God. But I didn't really think too much about the podcast thing. I think, like I said, I think it's tied into WWE's network that's coming soon. And trying to have direct play on the internet. The only thing I found funny about it is that yesterday when Becky said dirt sheets, I mean, obviously Meltzer, you know, Keller, they have dirt sheets for decades. So I understand if they think the shot is towards them. But I saw every goof out there that, like, writes a blog, and they honestly thought Becky was talking about them.
Oh, so, of course.
Yeah, so I guarantee you tonight there's a few podcasters that are on social media right now that are convinced that Damian Priest was taking a shot at them.
Right.
I don't know. So, Becky Lynch, little victory lap today. You picked up on that yesterday. I didn't say it yesterday because I just thought it was maybe the way the camera work is. Thank you, Bob. You and I for president and vice president.
Yeah,
I don't want to be president that. Of anything. I like being part of the people, honestly. But thank you for that, my friend. When Becky cut that promo after her match with Charlotte in the back, you noticed that about her eyes. And I noticed it when she hit the ring tonight, too.
Yeah, she got droopy eye. She got Charlotte roughed her up last night. People that thought that match wasn't a little rougher than normal weren't paying attention. She did an interview post-match, and her right eye was droopy, like she'd been punched in it a few times. And I didn't really see swelling tonight, but, you know, they could have iced it. They could have done, you know, obviously a ton of foundation. It's not like Becky doesn't wear cakes of makeup anyways. But, yeah, she might have had a little black eye going. She might have had the start of one. We're not talking like full-fledged Mike Tyson beatdown, but yeah, Becky was knocked a little stupid. Her lip was a little thick. That bottom lip looked like, you know, it was maybe bit a little too hard or, you know, got popped in the face a few times. So I was trying to go back and see exactly at what point Charlotte started potatoing the shit out of Becky, but I couldn't find it. So,
yeah.
Sorry, James said she's Irish. She was drinking. Well, that could have been it too. You're right, sir. I take it back. She was just drunk. Thank you, James.
Botch Club, support the WWE Jimmy Miranda Award. You know, I appreciate your passion for that, but it's not a name that WWE is going to make widespread like that. You know, it's maybe for another Hall of Fame we would see that, but WWE would not do it. But definitely something, you know, keep pushing it, man. Keep pushing it.
Yeah.
You know, Becky tonight kind of doing a little bit what Bryan Danielson did, kind of what Kevin Owens was able to do last week. I mean, Becky Lynch has been more of a heel since she's been back, obviously, you know, taking the title from Bianca Belair. But she was, without question, the baby face on this. And look, she's a tweener because she's putting down the fans tonight live, but she at the same time is telling Liv Morgan in the back, I let kids touch the belt every week. I see kids every week and I let them touch the belt. That doesn't make them champion. So, right. You know, Becky will, you know, online show a lot of support for a lot of fans. But, you know, tonight, because the feud with Charlotte is over, now it's back to work. And now the job is to try to elevate Liv Morgan a little bit. And having Becky in the ring, getting the crowd against her, basically, you know, saying that the crowd loved every minute of them beating the crap out of each other yesterday. And later on, having that confrontation in the back, Liv Morgan with the interview and Becky mocking her, making fun of her. And I tell you, you looked at Liv Morgan's eyes. There were tears about to come down. That is talented because that's one of the things you do in acting. You know, when you're in a scene and you're supposed to look like you're about to cry, they tell you to think about something really, really sad in the back of your mind. And,
hey,
you know,
do you think if instead of are you going to cry, if Becky said she's going to puke, do you think she would have Liv Morgan would have puked?
She's going to puke. Shut up. I could, you know, when I don't think about, I could do it better. But I tell you, Liv clocked her pretty good, and Liv walks off, and Becky Lynch, a little smirk on her face. Like, look, you know, like I said earlier, you know, when you got haters, you know, you want to get under their skin. That's a little bit of revenge. I mean, look, two wrongs don't make a right, and you don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior, but believe me. You know, when it comes to my haters, and I tell all of you out there, and I've said it for years to all of you, you know, the biggest this you could do to your haters is be happy, have success, work hard, play hard. And they can't stand it because you have something that they want or too lazy to get themselves. And believe me, when you have good things happen and then you have better things happen and you could have bumps in the road, trust me, you know, on the other side of that computer, they are upset, angry, jealous, bitter, irate. And that little smirk that Becky Lynch had on her face after Liv Morgan hit her in storyline, that's the same thing. Becky is like, yeah, I got her.
Right.
I got her to tears. Yeah, I got hit, but I got her. And I tell you, Becky is, I'm a big fan. I mean, I'm a big fan of Charlotte also. But I'm enjoying this attitude with Becky. I'm really enjoying it. So just to wrap up tonight, we're going to get out of here. You know, we talked about it earlier with Seth Rollins, Finn Balor confrontation, pretty much laying out Finn Balor, Rollins with a couple of curb stomps. You know, we'll see what happens with Balor in the near future. But we get Big E versus Austin Theory. Seth Rollins comes out at ringside. Kevin Owens comes out at ringside. I talked about it yesterday on the Survivor Series recap. Your next feud is Big E versus Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. It's what we talked about yesterday, and tonight you saw pretty much that plan into gear. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, they don't really get along. When Kevin Owens got interviewed earlier in the night, and he was talking about the egg thing, and the interviewer brought up Seth Rollins. He's like, I don't care about Seth Rollins. So they're trying to set that up. Now, you know, Big E, there was no question he was going to beat Austin Theory tonight. And it was a fun match. And Big E, you know, getting a little bit of retaliation to Seth Rollins. But tonight was more about setting up Big E versus Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. And, Mish, before we close it, what I had said yesterday, I'm curious your opinion on this. Because tonight it felt like it. What I said yesterday even more got developed today. Do you feel that Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, they have two different goals right now? That Seth Rollins, his job is to help elevate Big E even further. Kevin Owens, his job is to get Big E more over as a babyface. Because that's two totally different things.
It is, and I could see that, but I don't think that either of those men have the ability to do that. I don't. Really? Yeah, it's a weird choice. I think you're right. That might be what the office wants them to do, but Kevin Owens isn't the star maker. You know what I mean? Kevin Owens doesn't make people stars. He doesn't make people uber baby faces. Who has Kevin Owens made an uber baby face? And we can't even go back to Braun Strowman because Braun was still Braun with
Kevin
the whole
Owens good freaking KO him,
and
man.
Jericho thing.
No one.
So it's a really weird responsibility to saddle on the back of Kevin Owens, especially for a guy, and this isn't really too hard to argue, who's been a bigger baby face than Kevin Owens ever was. Why would you give Kevin Owens the job of trying to make New Day's Big E a bigger baby face than Kevin Owens?
Because Kevin Owens does a damn good job at being a heel.
He's a fantastic heel, but that doesn't mean that he makes baby faces. And Seth, as far as bringing Seth up to make him more valid for the main event, making his title run more valid, Seth is a guy who is not seen as a strong title holder. I'm sorry. He's held the title, absolutely. And they gave him the run, but we're not talking about a guy who has the ability to make you look valid. Seth is a guy who holds the title because he's looked as he's conned his way in. He's a good wrestler, Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, he's a good wrestler, but that's as far as I'll give him. I don't think he's a great promo. I don't think his interactions have been good for a very long time. He's more annoying than he is beneficial. So if the plan is, by your belief anyways, that WWE wants Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins to elevate Big E, it's kind of backwards. Because Big E's the guy who could elevate Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. I don't know, man.
Well, if you notice yesterday and today, the crowd is now doing the Fandango. And if people remember, yeah, I said they were going to do that about Jungle Boy's music. The minute I heard them using that theme for Jungle Boy, I said, that's the new Fandango. And, yeah, you know, they also serenade Jericho, obviously. But the last 2 days, the fans are serenading Seth Rollins with his music. Life imitating art. Welcome to the family. Thank you for subscribing. I think Kevin Owens is just so freaking good as a heel, and not any one person is going to be the magic bullet to get somebody tremendously over. But I think Kevin Owens, out of that whole Raw roster, as far as potential heels, he might be the best at it to be in a heel to get the other person's support. Seth Rollins, man. Look, I bought 2 Seth Rollins shirts in the last 2 months because I like his work. I'm a fan of his work. I think he is, you know, arguably at the top of his game. I mean, just the way he triggers people simply by the way he dresses. I mean, he just had this incredible feud with Edge that I think a lot of people have quickly forgot about. So the guy is on some pretty good momentum. But going into January 1st, we have Big E, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins. That is the plan. Austin Theory put up a good fight tonight. I know some people thought that there might be a title change because we had, you know, 3 title changes earlier, but I didn't think there was any chance that Big E was losing that day, especially after just having a match with Roman Reigns. If he would have lost that title tonight, that would have been the death nail for Big E. You lose from Roman the day before. Alex Rock, welcome to the family, Alex. Much love. There's no way you have Big E lose yesterday and then lose tonight. I don't think so. So,
right.
Anyway, before we go, a little joke from Bobby. We'll close out the show with this, since we had this dumb thing with Vince McMahon and the egg the last 24 hours. But check this out, Mish. For those that don't know, how come eggs don't tell jokes? Because they would crack each other up. Oh! Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Sorry. I didn't mean the chirping. Ooh, who is that? Wait, guess the boobs. Guess the boobs. Wait, is that... Wait, guess the boobs. I don't know who that is.
What? Are you serious?
Wait a minute. That's Charlotte?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I could. The robe kind of gave it away. Huh. Interesting. I for a minute, I was like, oh, I didn't think that was Charlotte for a minute. Oh, Gabrielle, I can't take credit for that joke. That was Bobby that did that. He's the one that told the joke. So anyway, I said that we would go, you know, an hour to 90 minutes, no more than that, and that's exactly where we are at. So we're going to close this out. So just a reminder for our Patreon friends, tomorrow night, Mish will be live at 10:05. It's going to be a very lighthearted, fun show. And again, you know, we're going to start that serial tournament, which should be a lot of fun. I still don't know what's going on Wednesday night. It's really going to come down to weather because I am going away from Thanksgiving until Sunday night. But
right.
As of right now, I was going to leave Wednesday night. If I don't leave until Thursday morning, then I will do an episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite on Wednesday. I will let everybody know by tomorrow night. I will post it on social media in the community section on YouTube. You'll know. But earlier today, as I said earlier, Mish and I, we recorded a 2-hour rapid fire questions episode, almost 200 questions. And yeah, that is Turkey Head. That is me, Turkey Head. So that will be released to everyone Thursday morning. When the clock strikes midnight, early Thursday morning, it will be public for everybody. But for our channel members on YouTube, I will release it early. So you will get it tomorrow. So if you want to, and I promise you, you will love this episode. There's a lot of stuff that you probably never knew about us that you will learn about. And we also tackled some pretty, you know, controversial topics, some interesting topics. Yeah. A lot of laughs, and very easy listening. Easy listening. So, like the mustache. Mine's kind of starting to get a little gray. I think you got to have to dye it, right? So, for those, when you tune into the Thanksgiving episode, you will understand why I'm wearing this shirt. It was a little bit of Andrew Dice Clay talked about. There was a little Married with Children talked about. A little Miami Vice. Yeah. Tracy Lords. Yeah. I had no idea that Mish dated a porn star. There is some very interesting.
I told you about that star before. Yeah, whatever. I'm not.
Don't give it away.
Watch it.
Right. All right, Mish, my friend.
He was very gentle.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Have a good night, my friend. I'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
All right. Much love, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care. Be well. All right, everybody. I didn't want to abruptly get him off, but I'm looking at the clock. We are less than about 30 seconds from 90 minutes, and I wanted to keep the show 90 minutes or less tonight. Focus on Raw for a change. You know, obviously Saturday we did a show. Yesterday we did the recap, so literally 3 days in a row, and then tomorrow we have a show too. So I want to thank you all for hanging out tonight. I know we're ending a little bit earlier. I don't want anybody to be disappointed. But, you know, like I said, with the addition of shows and content, I think it's very important that we keep the shows shorter. Last week we did 2.5 hours. So we're actually ending the show an hour early today. But, you know, I don't expect all of you to tune into every minute of every day of every show that we do. But if we could end these shows a little bit sooner, there's a higher possibility that you all may tune into, you know, additional episodes. So, everyone, if I don't talk to you tomorrow or Wednesday, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy the weekend. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, have a great weekend as well. You know, relax, stay safe, enjoy yourself, be careful out there. And, you know, I will definitely see you in a few days. So, everyone, much love. Have a great night. And thank you, as always, for your support. it is very much appreciated. It is acknowledged, and it will never go unnoticed. So you all have a good night and happy Thanksgiving.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.